When we think of mercury poisoning or heavy metal toxicity, it seems pretty remote. Most of us don't think that that's a big issue in our society. But with all of the mercury exposure that we have, particularly from our dentists and from fish, it's become something that's really ubiquitous. There are very few of us that don't have a toxic load of a heavy metal of some kind that needs to be dealt with. And today we have an expert with us on mercury toxicity. His name is Dr. Mitchell Corwin. He's a chiropractor who practices applied kinesiology. He's been in practice more than 25 years. He's one of my partners at the Health Medicine Institute. We work together very well on this issue. He has a lot of expertise in heavy metal toxicity, particularly mercury. And he's also a member of the Orthomolecular Health Medicine Society. Mitch, it's nice to have you on the show today. Thanks for joining us.
Yes, thank you for inviting me.
So what are some of the common sources, you know, I mentioned two of them, of mercury toxicity, and how prevalent do you think it is in your practice?
Well, mercury toxicity is a big factor, and pretty much the most common source environmentally is coal, coal burning and power plants.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's pretty familiar with that, but the number two source that we don't even think about is actually mercury vapors, elemental mercury vapors coming from amalgam fillings when they're vaporized in crematoriums.
You're kidding. Who would think of that? My goodness. Well, how much of a problem, first of all, is mercury in the human body? I mean, does it come out of amalgams? Is it something we really need to be concerned about from that point of view?
Well, exposure to the human body, the number one source is amalgam fillings.
Mm-hmm.
But environmentally, it's coal burning in those crematoriums.
Mm-hmm.
And smoking should be included, too, because it's other heavy metals. Yes, it's a big, big problem, and, you know, it probably encompasses probably 95 to 98% of the population are exposed to it.
It's almost hard to believe. You know, the way that the government deals with mercury is kind of amazing. You can't put it anywhere except a toxic waste dump or somebody's mouth.
Mm-hmm.
It's a remarkable thing, and it almost leaves us to be in disbelief that it's that big of an issue, because otherwise why hasn't action been taken? Why haven't the dentists been told that they can't do that like they have in Europe, for example, in some mm-hmm. countries?
Well, the dentists, they do have a position statement,
mm-hmm.
but it's, if I could read it here, it's generally safe. However, amalgam fillings contain mercury. Mercury, in its elemental form, is toxic, such as listed in Prop 65. And to the average person, that's like saying when you cross the street, you may get hit by a car unless you look right or left, and then you're safe, right?
Hello? So when mercury gets into the body, what does it do to us? Why is it a problem?
Well, there's different types of mercury. Maybe we should talk about that
okay.
first. There's elemental mercury, and elemental mercury means the stuff that comes out of the ground, that heavy metal mercury mm-hmm. liquid stuff.
Or maybe the stuff in your thermometer, stuff
yes,
like that.
Exactly that. And then there's inorganic mercury, which is really mercury, elemental mercury attached to different chloride and different things, so it's like mercury salts.
Okay.
And they're nasty on the kidneys, but that's not a big problem. The one that everybody's concerned about is organic mercury, or ethyl mercury, or methyl.
Mm-hmm.
And when you hear those terms, ethyl and methyl, that's when you want to beware.
So where does it go when it gets in the body? And I mean, does it get from your amalgams to the rest of your body?
Well, what happens is the amalgam is the elemental mercury. That's not a big problem, but mercury is basically unstable.
Mm-hmm.
In room temperature, it's a liquid and it turns into a gas or a vapor.
Mm-hmm.
And so every time you're chewing and putting hot and cold food in your mouth, some of those vapors are released, not to mention what happens when that dentist drill hits that amalgam filling.
Okay.
Really, when you get your teeth cleaned, the amount of vapors that come off is just incredible. Probably the amount of mercury, you know, that's leaking out of your amalgam fillings is amplified, you know, 1,000 times when you get your teeth cleaned or you get an amalgam filling taken out.
You have a video that shows the outgassing of mercury from a tooth. I almost couldn't believe it when I saw it. It looks like it's smoldering when you put it in the right environment so you can see it.
Yeah, that was a fabulous video. I actually have that as a Linden Library in my office.
Mm-hmm.
And it's made by the International Association of Oral Medicine and Toxicology in coordination with the Calgary Institute
mm-hmm.
University. They did a fabulous job, and everybody should know about that. And one of the big things when I saw that, I says, I can't believe this. This is done in 1999, 2000, 2001. It's 2006, and no one knows about it.
Well, at the Health Medicine Institute, we all do, because you have the video there. Now, when mercury gets into the brain, does mercury easily get into the brain, and can you get it out, and what does it do to brain tissue?
That's a big problem, is that's what confuses the medical community and the public, too, is that when mercury vapors are inhaled, do you ingest mercury, organic mercury from food and stuff, it goes into the gut, or it's or the vapor is absorbed through the lungs. It doesn't stay in the blood very long.
Where does it go?
Within 3 days, it's completely out of the blood. It gets absorbed into the tissues.
Fat tissues?
Well, the body wants it. What is the body going to do with the toxins? It's going to try to dilute it and store it in the most innocent places.
Right.
You and I have a little problem. We don't have much fat for this.
Well, we got fat in our brain. Our brain's 60% fat, unfortunately. And it goes there.
Exactly.
So when it gets there, what does it do?
Oh, it causes lots of problems. Basically, it will cause degeneration of nerve tissue.
Wow.
So it can cause, in high doses, it will cause profound mental retardation. Profound. And it also is a significant factor in breaking down our nerve tissue. Our immune system is significantly adversely affected. It affects the ATP reboxylation cycle. It affects lymphocytes, the B lymphocytes, the T lymphocytes. And it is always a complicating factor in all your chronic neurological diseases and all your chronic conditions like chronic fatigue syndrome, et cetera, et cetera.
How can mercury help anybody? I don't know of any known uses of mercury. And when you're talking about somebody who has a nerve disorder like MS or Parkinson's or Alzheimer's, to put in a neurotoxin there, it seems like it's nuts. Mm. And yet that's what's happening. So we have to find ways to get the mercury out of our body. How much of a challenge is that for you?
The big problem with that is, how do you measure it? Mm-hmm. To find out even if you got a problem. And there is no effective way to show heavy metal burden in the body tissues.
It's some of the time. I mean, when we measure in standard medicine looking for heavy metal toxicity, when we get metals in the urine, for example, the body burden of those metals is unbelievably high. Because like you said, it goes out of the blood in just a few hours, and it goes into tissues where it's bound tightly. So a lot of the time we get smart and we do what's called a chelation challenge, where we add something like DMPS in a capsule, which pulls the mercury out of the fat tissue back into the bloodstream, and then it's excreted in the urine, and you can see a lot of that mercury coming out. And a lot of people have a body burden that's very high. Yet there are a lot of people who you do that to, and it comes back zero. And what you're saying is you could still be mercury toxic because it's still bound so tightly to certain tissues like brain that you're poisoned.
Yeah, that's a big problem. And, you know, everybody's had a urinalysis or a blood test sometime in their life, and then they actually see it when the tests come back, mercury or other metals, zero.
Yeah.
And, of course, the problem is that it wasn't a challenge test.
Right.
So right off the bat, the test is invalid for those things.
Right.
And we have seen some work done with hair analysis.
Mm-hmm.
And hair analysis is a good screen.
Yes.
It's got a problem because it's measuring, I think it's only measuring elemental mercury in the hair. Mm-hmm. And it's not an accurate measurement. Well, there is no accurate measurement, but it's not measuring the body burden. It's just showing what happens to be shown in the hair.
Right.
Because the body's trying to disperse it.
Now, when somebody comes to you and they've got a body burden in their brain, okay, and that's which is the worst place you want to have your mercury, what can you do? How do you help them?
That is a challenging question because there's a lot of controversy as to, do you want to use chelating agents? Do you want to use like kind of nutrition approach or detox?
Mm-hmm.
And all of those are valid. But what I like to do is use a more of a type of a bioenergetic approach.
Okay, tell us.
And let's incorporate the immune system that put it there. Maybe we could teach it how to reverse it.
Mm-hmm.
So really, it's a twofold process. One is kind of retraining and rebuilding the immune system to do a job that it's failed in the past.
So it's like self-healing.
Well, it's more directed self-healing.
Uh-huh.
You need someone to teach it, and that's my job as any good practitioner will know how to rebuild the immune system and then teach it to undo a process that is done in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of storing it, we got to go around and actually tag all the organs, the brain tissue, the fat, the bones, mm-hmm. and teaching how to pull it back out.
So give us an example of what you might do. Is this applied kinesiology you're talking about now?
And these are, yes, these are more applied kinesiology techniques, and some of them are more energetic medicine techniques. And I have found it to be extremely effective. Because there's easy ways to monitor through applied kinesiology techniques, i.e. muscle testing, mm-hmm. which is an assessment tool. Mm-hmm. And every organ in the body has a muscle associated with it. So anybody with heavy metal toxicity in the central nervous system, they will have the classic muscle associated with that, which is the supraspinatus, a muscle on the top of the shoulders.
Well, the rotator cuff muscle.
One of the rotator cuff muscles. So shoulder problems, chronic shoulder problems, I'm always suspicious of heavy metal toxicity.
Can you give us an example of a patient that you treated that didn't have high mercury levels on the testing, but you knew from your experience that this was heavy metal toxicity with mercury, and you did your technique and someone got better? Can you think of a case where that happened?
Well, I can think of a common scenario with someone with a musculoskeletal problem uh-huh. that just is persisting. It's not healing up. It could be a shoulder. It could be a hip problem. Most commonly shoulder and rotator cuff problems. And it's just not healing up. Fractures heal up in 8 weeks. Soft tissue injury should heal up in 6 weeks. Here, this shoulder problem is going on month after month, 6 months, maybe even a year or longer. Not responding well to physical therapy or exercise. So that tells you there's got to be another variable involved. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, well, maybe there's heavy metal toxicity because it's going to affect that supraspinatus muscle.
Sure.
It's going to have an impact on the liver. The liver has a muscle that's also on the shoulder. The gallbladder has another muscle on the shoulder there. And what does heavy metal toxicity do is affects nerve tissue. So if the nerves become irritated from heavy metal toxicity, and on top of it, a new or a chronic injury, how is it ever going to heal?
Well, that's a good point. How is it ever going to heal? A big problem. So what we're looking at here is heavy metal toxicity that is dealt with in a rather unusual way that can be very effective. I want to thank you for being with us today, and I want to remind some of our listeners, if they'd like to learn more about Dr. Mitchell Corwin, you can do it on his website, which is at lastchancegarage.org, or he works at the Health Medicine Institute with me, and that number there is 925-962-3799. Mitch, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much.